Somewhere deep in my childhood, my father is coming home off the road on a Friday night. He's a traveling salesman. It is 1951 or 52. He's carrying with him lumpy white butcher paper packages full of boiled shrimp or tamales or oysters by the pint he's brought up from Louisiana. The shrimp and tamales steam up hot and damp off the slick papers when he opens them out. Lights in our small duplex on Congress Street in Jackson are switched on bright. My father, Parker Ford, is a large man, soft, heavy-seeming, smiling widely as if he knew a funny joke. He is excited to be home. He sniffs with pleasure. His blue eyes sparkle. My mother is standing beside him, relieved he's back. She is buoyant, happy. He spreads the packages out onto the metal kitchen tabletop for us to see before we eat. It is as festive as life can possibly be. My father is home again. My mother's week has anticipated this arrival. Edna, will you? Edna, did you? Son. I am in the middle of everything. Normal life between his Monday leavings and the Friday nights when he comes back. Normal life is the interstitial time. A time he doesn't need to know about and that my mother saves him from. If something bad has happened, if she and I have had a row, always possible. If I've had trouble in school, also possible. This news will be covered over, manicured for his peace of mind. I don't remember my mother ever saying, I'll have to tell your father about this, or wait till your father comes home, or your father will not like that. They confer the administration of the week's events, including my supervision, onto her. If he doesn't have to hear it when he's home, ebullient and smiling with packages, it can be assumed nothing so bad has gone on, which is true, and to that extent is fine with me. His large, malleable, fleshy face was given to smiling. His first face was always the smiling one, the long Irish lip, the transparent blue eyes, my eyes. My mother must have noticed this when she met him, wherever she did, in Hot Springs or Little Rock, sometime before 1928. Noticed this and liked what she saw, a man who liked to be happy. She had never been exactly happy. Only inexactly, with the nuns who taught her at St. Anne's in Fort Smith, where her mother had put her to keep her out of the way. For being happy, however, there was a price. His mother, Minnie, an unyielding immigrant from County Cavan, a small-town widow and a Presbyterian, maintained views that my mother was a Catholic. Why else go to their school? Catholic meant wide instead of diffident and narrow. Parker Carroll was her youngest of three, the baby. Her husband, my father's father, L.D. Jr., was already a suicide. A dandified farmer with a gold-headed cane in a small Arkansas town. She'd been left with all his debts and his scandal. She meant to protect her precious last from the Catholics, definitely. My mother would never fully own him if his mother had a say, and she would. My father did not project a strength, even as a young man. Rather, he projected a likable, untried quality, a susceptibility to being overlooked, deceived, except by my mother. From my memory, I know he tended to stand back in groups and yet to lean forward when he spoke, as though he was expecting soon to hear something he'd need to know. There was his goodly size, the warm, hesitant smile. A woman who liked him, my mother, could see this as shy, a fragility a wife could work with. He would likely not disguise things or himself, a man who wasn't so knowing that you couldn't take care of him. There was the terrible temper, not so much anger as eruptive and impulsive, born of frustrations with things he couldn't do or hadn't done well enough or didn't know. private dissatisfactions, possibly of the sort that had made his young father take a seat on the porch step one moonlit summer night in 1916, having lost the farm to bad investments and poisoned himself to death out of dismay. My father's temper wasn't of that kind. His sweetness, the large forward-leaning sunniness and uncertainty worked against that, allowing an opening for a life my mother could see and enter with the sound of her name, Edna. When she met him, she was 17. He was possibly 24, a produce man at the Clarence Saunders Grocery in Hot Springs where she lived with her parents. It was a small chain of stores now gone. There is a photograph I have. My father standing in the store with the clerks, wooden bins all around brimming with onions, potatoes, carrots, apples. It is an old-looking place. He is wearing his white bib apron and staring slightly, smiling for the camera. His dark hair is neatly combed. He is ordinarily handsome, competent appearing, alert, a young man on the way to somewhere better, a career, not merely employment. It is the 20s. He has come to the city from the country, equipped with farm virtues. Was he nervous in this picture? Excited? Did he fear he might fail? Why, one wonders, had he left tiny Atkins where he was from, the world's pickle capital? All of it is unknown to me. His brother Elmo, called Pat for the Irish lineage, lived in Little Rock, but soon went to the Navy. His sister was at home with a burgeoning family. Possibly by the time of this picture, he had met my mother and fallen in love. Dates are no more clear than reasons. Not long after, though, he took a better job managing the Liberty stores in Little Rock, another grocery chain. He joined the Masons. Though soon robbers would enter one of his places of business, wave guns around, take money, hit my father in the head, and depart, after which he was let go and never told precisely why. Possibly he'd said something he shouldn't have. I don't know how people saw him. As a bumpkin? A hick? A mother's boy? Not brave enough? Possibly as a character to whom the great Chekhov would ascribe a dense, if not necessarily rich, interior life. A young man adrift within his circumstances. Time, then, and another job in Hot Springs again. He was married to my mother now. The 30s were beginning. Then another, even better job came, selling laundry starch for a company out of Kansas City, the Faultless Company. I don't know how he gained such a job.